nation, not a reserve. Show the first round of nation the respect that we deserve. Second, nah, I'm never settling for seconds. A warrior on horseback, my mind is my weapon. Third world conditions, are you kidding? Even after all that we've given, four directions from all around the world come to live in our home and native land. Where to find this inspiration, this rapper guy? Well, that information right there is classified. So they tell you that the warriors been pacified, that we're all lazy, but guess what, that's a lie. The first welfare line of Canada was Champlain, asking the Mohawks, can I have some maize, man? Nowadays it seems like we beg for spare change. Oh Canada, the way you treated us, a damn shame. Oh Canada, sometimes it's like love and hate. Back in the day you tried to eradicate. Nowadays it feels like I could be candidate for prime minister, so let's elevate. Oh Canada, sometimes it's like love and hate. Back in the day you tried to eradicate. Nowadays it feels like I could be candidate for prime minister, so let's elevate. Now eternity, it seems like a long time, but that's the intention when the treaties were signed. That they last as long as the sunshine, long as the grass grows and Wapkanoo flows. Oh, not that that's even possible, but Canada, just consider the obstacle. When some in this country don't have the water flow, I'm calling audible and all those in Ottawa. Whoa, so the treaty got me $5 and an education. I'll see you at Starbucks. Damn right, so I'm a native on the move with a pocket full of cash and your grandkids think I'm smooth. So who's the hero who touch about zero? Italians by tomatoes and Irish by potatoes. Well, all of that was done by an aboriginal. You stole my Lambo, called me a criminal. Oh, Canada, sometimes it's like love and hate. Back in the day, you tried to eradicate. Nowadays, it feels like I could be candidate for prime minister, so let's elevate. Oh, Canada, sometimes it's like love and hate. Back in the day, you tried to eradicate. Nowadays, it feels like I could be candidate for prime minister, so let's elevate. I guess I should explain, I'm not one to complain, but the way my dad had it just makes my head hang. Nuts in the habit doing terrible things. Kids with the rulers and the canes. Dang, can you imagine such things? My people's genocide being done in God's name. They did say sorry, but ain't a damn thing changed. Cause CFS is still taking our kids away. Hey, can you even deny it? Knife on the clock, nah, kid, don't even try it. That's a one-way ticket, you don't wanna buy, kid. Next thing you know, you'll be an earthworm's diet. I'm hired by the CBC to report on the people that be beneath the surface. But I don't know if you believe in me. I just be leaving these old stereotypes behind. Respect me for my heart, but love me for my mind. Oh Canada, sometimes it's like love and hate. Back in the day you tried to eradicate. Nowadays it feels like I could be candidate for prime minister, so let's elevate. Oh Canada, sometimes it's like love and hate. Back in the day you tried to eradicate. Nowadays it feels like I could be candidate for prime minister, so let's elevate.
Hello and welcome to the Indie Insurgency. This is DJ Redskin Girl and I'm broadcasting live from the basement of Crothers Hall, CFRC 101.9 FM, Kingston, Ontario. This week is CFRC's 2012 funding drive. So we are looking for people to call in or donate online to pledge some money to CFRC. Our goal this year is $25,000 and you can call us to pledge money at 613-533-CFRC, or you can go online by visiting www.cfrc.ca. This year, like I said, our goal is $25,000, which is almost 20% of our operating revenues for the year. We're very excited to be promoting CFRC, obviously. The Indie Insurgency is on air because of CFRC. So, yeah, you should pledge because the reason why this show is so... is so awesome is because CFRC has really amazing people staffed here and really amazing volunteers as well. And they make this show possible. So feel free to call in the pledge line. Like I said, it's 613-533-CFRC, or you can go online at cfrc.ca. So please consider pledging to CFRC today. So today on the Indian Insurgency, I wanted to talk a little bit about Dayage Alfred's visit to campus. Dayage visited on Valentine's Day this year, and he did a really amazing talk, and I was fortunate enough to be able to get him to answer a couple questions while he was still around after his talk. And so I wanted to play a few of those questions. I asked him 3 questions, and he was kind enough to answer all of them, and it was really cool getting to talk to him one-on-one. So I will come back with that right after this message.
This Friday, February 17th, get ready for another CFRC DJ night. With fresh live beats from CFRC's own DJs, you can hit the dance floor with your friends or hang out and share a drink with CFRC volunteers. That's Friday, February 17th from 8 p.m. to midnight at the Grad Club, 162 Berry Street. And as always, admission is free. Radio supports community. Party with Community Radio and support our annual funding drive. Want to help make Queens a positive space? Well, you can by attending a short workshop put on by the Positive Space Program. Once enlightened, you can post a Positive Space sticker in your work, living, or study area, helping to create a campus free of discrimination. Contact the Human Rights Office or email postpace@post.queensu.ca. Remember, look for the stickers with the rainbow triangle and a Q, which designates a queer positive space.
And we're back with the Indie Insurgency. This is DJ Redskin Girl. We're broadcasting live today to support CFRC in order to get people to call in or go online and pledge money for a funding drive. So I wanted to talk a little bit about Dayage Alfred's visit to campus. And so I'm going to play a few of the questions that I asked him while he was here. And so we'll take a listen to those. It's about 10 minutes, and then I'll come back and talk a little bit about what I thought about his answers later on.
Well, I think education, in order to be any use to Indigenous people, has to have a sense of insurgency to it, meaning... ...institution was established on. You're going to actually undermine those principles, because the university was established to be a bastion of white power. It was meant to further understandings of the world that were constructed in Europe and put into practice here, most of them explicitly against the idea of our survival and oriented towards Indigenous people's destruction. So how could you be in accord with that? So by insurgent education, I mean you have to be going in there kind of under false pretenses, you know, in a certain sense, is that, okay, I'm going to take everything I can from this institution and use it against it. I'm going to take everything I can and use it to undermine the power that this institution represents over me. To the extent I find people who are decolonized, who don't have imperialist ideas and who have knowledge that is generally applicable and helpful, I'll treat them with respect and even friendship. But anytime I find something that's hostile to my future existence as a Mwahuin, I'll act again. That's what I meant by insurgent education. And so I think that you have to be a person who is comfortable with the notion of being in a position of conflict, being in a position of opposition, not expecting to be accepted and validated. per se. You have to be looking for something that is much more achievable at the community level and kind of a transformative effect on yourself, as opposed to, you know, people saying, "Oh, you know, I love what you're doing. It's so useful. It's so great. Here's an award. Here's a scholarship. All those kind of things." And that may come over time, because some people may come to value, but that can't be the reason that you're in education. I think that the reason for education is to serve as a tool for the decolonization of our people.
Great, thank you. Okay, just two more quick questions. I don't know how quick you can answer them, but you could say as little or as more as you'd like. Chief Adleo thinks that we should be getting, as Indigenous people, like a piece of the pie in terms of like mining and resource extraction. What are your thoughts generally on resource extraction?
Well, I think that it's an inherent and almost necessary evil in the society that we all live in and partake in. If we have a digital recorder or a cell phone, which almost all of us have now, we take part in the resource extraction economy and those little minerals that come from certain parts of Africa or Asia. So no one's immune from it. But I think it's important to recognize that it's the notion of progress and continual development and expansion of economy and privilege that drives most of the problems that we have here today. And so the tar sands, continuous logging of the boreal forest, mining, oil and gas, those are not to fund, and those are not to support the needs of Canadian citizens. Those are to generate more income for international corporations. And so none of the tar sands oil is needed by Canadians. None of the logs that are logged off the forest of British Columbia are needed for British Columbia. They're all shipped to China. And so I think that participation in the economy should be, you know, something that's done with the mind to Indigenous values of balance and harmony and all that stuff. And so, yeah, you have to accept reality. But at the same time, do you have to be a promoter and a participant in the continuous expansion of the economy for the sole motive of profit? And I just don't buy that. I think that, yeah, our people participated in an economy that went to developing local communities, their own and local white communities. People were loggers and miners and things like that. But it's a different ballgame now, and people have to understand what they're getting into. So I totally don't agree with Sean Atleo when he says it's necessity. You know, it isn't. It's not necessary. There's plenty of other opportunities for Native people to be gainfully employed in society that are not so directly imperialist and colonial. Higher education, information economy, service economy. I mean, no one's, like, started off by saying no one's immune, but there's degrees of culpability in raping the earth, you know. And if you're one actually doing it, yeah, there's no getting around it. You are the person that's responsible. And I just don't feel comfortable being in that position myself.
Thank you. Okay, my last question is, what are the dangers of merely incorporating Indigenous ceremonies and ideas about the world into the academy devoid of their context?
Well, I don't agree with that, and I don't do it, and I don't support people who do it. We don't do ceremonies in iGov. We don't do any of the kind of sacred ceremonies or things like that, because I think they have to be done in context. The primary context being, of course, out on the land and in the communities that they're intended to be done in. So that's not to say we don't encourage our students to do it. We have opportunities where we put students in that context. So that's our approach, is that taking the student and putting her in a different context so that she can learn in a different way, different knowledge is the way to do it, rather than trying to bring those into the classroom. Because I just don't think the classroom's appropriate for doing that kind of stuff. I think the classroom's very appropriate for the kind of intellectual challenge that students need, there's a kind of an adversarial relationship between someone standing up at the front of a class and a student sitting there, and you got to use that energy, right? And it's appropriate for certain purposes, but it's definitely inappropriate for others. And just practical matter, the rules of the university has on smoke for smudging and all that kind of stuff, and why would you want to compromise that? So I mean, we've all dealt with this. We used to try to do it, and then we came to the conclusion that no, let's do it in the right way if we're going to do it at all. And if we're not going to do it in the right way, then we won't bother. We might talk about it and then encourage them to go and do it themselves.
I'm specifically asking because there's a lot of like Native Studies programs that, you know, they kind of their mission statement is a little bit different, but what ends up happening is that they just end up teaching like a lot of Indigenous stuff within like the largely like the white supremacist structure of the academy. And like, what are the dangers? Like, and I think that you did a good job of going through like what those dangers are and like how that's, I mean, okay, specifically because I went to a conference at a university really nearby that specializes in a lot of Native stuff.
Trent?
Yeah. And it was really, like, weird because all the, like, non-Indigenous people were doing things like tending sacred fires, but they weren't attending the workshops that, like, Native people were talking about their ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, what? How do you even begin to address something like that happening?
How to address it is you talk to the people that are sponsoring it and holding them to account with the words that you just articulated. So that's the way I think about different institutions have different approaches, and they tend to attract people who agree with that approach. So it's kind of self-fulfilling, you know. If that institution has the idea that that's right, people who think that's right will be attracted to that university. So it would be hard to go in there as an individual and say, "Hey, you're all doing it wrong." But I'm with you on this question, and you don't see that kind of thing happening at UVic. And once or twice, it was even us on the wrong side where, as a faculty association, we said, you know, maybe we need to have this ceremony in this occasion, and the elders in the local community said, no, it's inappropriate, you shouldn't be doing that. Okay, well, good, then we won't. So you have to be open to being wrong. And maybe you don't know everything about ethics and what's appropriate and all that. You have to be open to that possibility. But if no one's holding them to account, they're just going to do what they think is right or what works for them. Right? So I'm all for causing trouble. Need students who are shit disturbers.
That's a good note to end on.
Okay, so that is what. That was my talk with Dayage Alfred, and that, you know, the three questions that I had asked him. And I think there's a lot to think about there. I think that he touched on a lot of really important issues that I was really, you know, I was really glad that I got all those answers, because it was a lot of things that I believe and I also wanted to hear. So I just want to remind everybody that CFRC is having our 2012 funding drive, and if you like this show and if you like other shows and the programming that CFRC offers, it would be great if you could call in to our line 613-533-CFRC, and you could pledge some money to keep the station going. You can also pledge online at cfrc.ca, and that way you don't have to call in right now in this moment. But it would be great if you could do that. The funding drive started on February the 10th, and it will run until Sunday, February the 19th. So you have lots of time to donate once or twice or however many times you want. There's also a lot of we're having events that are going on, and you can check cfrc.ca for more details on that. So I want to talk a little bit more about what Dayage Alfred said in his talk, and also in the questions that I asked him. I should mention, if you want to listen to that interview again, those couple of questions, if you visit www.radio4all.net, and then you search the Indian Surgency, which is NDNSURGNCY, then you can find it. And again, that's radio4all.net. So, if you search that, I have posted his, the audio that I took from those questions there, if you want to check it out again. So, I mean, I think a lot of, obviously a lot of his comments are completely on point, and I think are really critical to think about, you know, like what does it mean to, indigenize the academy? Is it possible? And that's something that he addressed in his talk. You know, he said that, he didn't think it was possible to make the structure, you know, to indigenize the academy, as it were. But rather what he kind of, I guess, was calling for was to be able to use the academy in order to do good for our nations as Indigenous people. And I think that that's really, really important. And something else that he said specifically in, you know, his answers to me was that, you know, you don't come into these institutions, like the institutions of academia, thinking that you're going to be supported and that people are going to pat you on the back and you're going to do really well. Because no, actually, it's going to be a struggle. It's going to be an incredible struggle, and it's not going to be easy. And, you know, the only way that you can really hope for some sort of good to come out of being in the academy is already knowing, as an Indigenous person, being firmly planted in your community, whatever that looks like, and knowing that Indigenous knowledge is already valid on its own. It's not something that needs to be validated through the academy, right? Because then you're going to come up against things and it's not going to go well. It's basically, I think, something that he's saying, right? Like, you can't just take these ceremonies and different ideas and put them into the academy, because that's not, no, actually an insurgent education is, using that education to do good for your own communities. So, I think that that's really an important thing to think about. Although I thought, you know, in his talk, I thought, in the talk that I didn't, put on tonight, it was really interesting because a lot of the ways that he talked about community was specifically in reference to on reserve communities. And I think that that's important, obviously, but I think it's also important, to think about the way that community isn't just restricted to, on reserve, Indigenous folks, and that a lot of Indigenous folks don't actually have access to on reserve communities. Right. And I'm sure he talks about that maybe in a lot of the things that he's published, but I specifically just wanted to talk about, you know, what he said, on the night that he visited Queens. And so that, you know, that was kind of a limitation, like even for someone like me that is connected to a reserve, how do I have access to that when I'm within education, right? Like it costs a lot of money to go home for me. I mean, obviously I stay connected in other ways, but that's kind of one thing that kind of perturbed me that I didn't get a chance to ask about, over the night. And then for people that don't have, for a lot of colonial reasons, don't have direct connections to reserves, right? Like, what does that mean? And how do we build community outside of the reserve system specifically? Yeah, so those are a couple of things that I wanted to talk about. I really enjoyed his response to resource extraction, because specifically for Indigenous communities, like it's a difficult thing to talk about, because communities and people need the money in a lot of ways, right? To keep up basic necessities. But at the same time, they're not getting that. And what often is happening, and I've talked about this on other shows, is that there are lower level jobs that are very temporary, and that's about all the community gets. And not to say that is in every case, but it's often the case. So, and I liked how he said that, like, you can't really escape resource extraction, but, you know, you don't have to be as complicit in doing more than your community needs, right? So I thought that was I really appreciated that answer. And I guess a lot of that comes back to knowing Indigenous ways of looking at the world and knowing that Indigenous knowledge is just as important as all the things that the mining company puts out, and saying that, you know, your environment is actually okay, but Indigenous knowledge might tell you the opposite, right? And that is something that we need to fight for, to get, you know, I mean, I think he said it properly, you know, I should have warned that there was going to be coarse language, but, you know, shit disturbers, like people that are willing to, or that are strong enough in themselves to know that what they're doing is protecting their communities and the land that their communities live on, you know, direct action. And he talked a lot about that as well in his talk. And I really appreciate that. I think it's something that communities do end up taking part in, and I think it's entirely appropriate. And so I applaud those people, those Indigenous folks who are going out and doing that and are able to have the support of their community in doing it, because I know that that's also a complicated situation. So I think that's about it. I'm going to leave you with a song, a little community radio plug, and then a song. So please, it's the CFRC's funding drive. And so we're looking for people to pledge. And so you can call 613-533-CFRC, or you can visit our website at cfrc.ca. And until next week, that is the Indie Insurgency, and this is DJ Redskin Girl signing off.